Jesus. Those of you who don't know, my name is Ben Lees and I'm the lead pastor here. And it's really important that we remember. And as time goes on and we don't experience war in the same way. Just let me know if you need me to change anything, guys. And we don't experience war in the same way. It's easy for it to become an abstract thing. It's easy to become something else. We see news, war through her news and all sorts of things. But maybe not anyone in this room actually experienced the bombers flying overhead in Coventry. You might have, but it'd be one or two of us. Or the actual fighting that goes on. And how do we make sure that we don't forget? This is just a small part. Because those men and women fought for our freedom. They fought for our freedom. They believed that under the governmental rule that they were going out to expel evil. And they fought for the freedoms that we now have. Lest we forget. Lest we forget. And it's easy in this fast-pacing life to move on and just forget things. And it's brilliant. I mean, have you've seen, I think Rising's called it Our Island in Shirley. Have you seen the island that has its green road? And, you know, I must have known the poppies thing, but I'd forgotten it. Yeah? And because it's just something that we now wear. And we mustn't forget why we wear it. And that beautiful expression of in a battlefield of death, poppies grow for the hope. And you know what I cling to, the definition of hope. The eager anticipation of good. The eager anticipation of good, that we can have a hope. And this morning, in remembering the freedoms that people have fought for, it calls me to remember and to remind us that we're in a battle. And this is not just a clever link to get in some things that I want to get under. We are really in a battle. It is a very real battle, and it is going on around us now. And in Solihull Christian Fellowship, we put our emphasis on who Christ is and what he has done. And then we look at the enemy and his tactics. That's the emphasis. If you want to spot a forgery in the bank, in, I can't say pound notes, in 5 and 10 and 20 pound notes, they look at the real. Yeah? So we generally have a focus on the real, on what Christ has done for us, and then with the enemy and his tactics. And this morning, though, we need to look at the enemy and his tactics. But genuinely, we keep it in a balance. Do you know, I ran down the list of wars since 1914. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 43. I know I should have counted that up beforehand. 43 wars, the Northern Campaign, the Greek Civil War, the Indonesian National Revolution, the Mayan Emergency, the Korean War, the Anglo-Egyptian War, the Myanmar Uprising, the Suez Crisis, the Border Campaign, the First Cod War. I thought that was a typo. It's not. It's the First Cod War, the Second Cod War, the Troubles in Ireland, the Falklands, the Gulf War, the Bosnian War, Kosovo, Sierra, the War in Afghanistan, Iraq, the Libyan Civil War, and the military intervention against the ISIL. Did you know, and I'm a little bit nervous, I didn't have time to treble check it out, but they suggest on the good old internet, 18 million men, women and children died in World War One. 18 million. Can you get your head around that? These men and women, many of the soldiers went into battle for their country. Whichever side they were on, they did what was deemed right by their governmental body. They thought and gave the ultimate sacrifice, their lives. We need to remember that we too are in her battle. It's the battle we must fight individually and a battle we must fight collectively. Who is the battle against? Ephesians 6:10-13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Pull on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. Stand, histemi, to uphold or sustain the authority or force of anything. Paul encourages us to stand, to uphold or sustain the authority of Jesus Christ. He causes us to stand and he reminds us we're in a battle. Who is the battle against? Powers and principalities. Let's get it right. Against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts, wickedness and heavenly places. He says he's not against flesh and blood. We need to remember that. When you're battling parents, your children, you're not battling them. It's the spirit behind them. When we, you know, find people that we struggle with, we're not battling them. We're battling a spirit that might be behind them. And they're probably thinking the same of us. When we come against people that we don't agree with and have a different view to us and we're arguing and battling, it must be against people. Because we're all God's creation, are we not? We are all God's created. Created in his image, male and female, he created us. Even that is under siege right now. And our battle is not against people. It is against the powers and the principalities that sit behind them, that yes, sometimes manifest themselves in the acts that people do. You have to excuse me, I'm on paper. Here we are. What are the weapons that we have? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we are in a battle. We are soldiers in a battle. But our battle is not against people. It is against Satan, the devil. And our weapons are not guns and knives and explosives. Our weapons are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody said to me once when we were talking about a challenge in society, often the battle begins in the prayer room. The battle begins with a great cry out to God. Father, move, shake this place, shake this situation. And then we go out as lights into the world and seeing transformation happen. Who is the enemy? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Just look at the weightiness of these words, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Just seen the link to a lion, and a small tiny tangent, but what is really prevalent in the spiritual realm is the Lion of Judah. And the fact that he's on the move. Isn't it interesting that the devil seeks to mimic wherever he can? And even Peter says he'll be like a roaring lion. He won't be the Lion of Judah, because he's seeking whom he can devour. And we must remember that. And there is an element of being on our guard, being watchful. There's also an element of knowing who we are in Christ and what he has done for us as part of the armour that we can put on. We haven't got time to go through them all. We'll put them on the internet. But here is the tactics of Satan. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. He blinds the mind of unbelievers. He comes as an angel of light, performs signs and wonders, tempts people to sin, steals God's word and chokes faith in people. Satan causes sickness and disease. He murders, he seeks to stop missionaries, and he accuses Christians before God. The tactics of the enemy are there. Oh, here we go. But we need to remember Christ has won the war. Colossians 2, 13 to 5, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Amen? But we must fight the battle. We must fight the battle. Christ has won the war, but we must fight the battle. So where is the battle? This morning I want us to walk us through three areas that I believe the battle is in. First of all, hold on, come on, the battle is in me. The battle is in me. And I've given a lot of thought because there's lots of things we could put underneath this. But what is the supreme thing that we are battling against that actually all other things fit underneath it? Come on. And is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number one, the battle is within me, and the battle is for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The law, the word law there is kurios. Kurios. I've phonetically spelt it, so I can't spell it out for you because it wouldn't be right. Listen to what it means. It's not that these words are not true, but it's how these words are used. So, Lord, he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, his master and Lord, the possessor and disposer of a thing, the owner, one who has control of the person, the master, in the state, the sovereign, the prince, the chief. Weighty words, aren't they? Do they evoke emotions? Gosh, it made me think, okay, there must be some Greek here that can help me out, and then I realised this was the Greek. Then surely, though, we've got to line it up with the rest of God's character. We've got to use that wisely. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Luke 6:46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That's the scripture that goes on to talk about the house that he's built on the rock and the house that he's built on the sand. But look at it. But why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? Now I'm beginning to feel really uncomfortable. Because the scripture is telling me, he's talking about words that talk of control and master and power and deciding where we go. And then Jesus himself says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? And this is where the battle starts. This is the crossroads point of where the battle within me starts. Which way shall we go? We stand now at the crossroads, and this is where I believe the battle begins within us. Go left in our thinking. That's not politically. This is just left and right. Okay? Yeah, it's just Ben here. Okay? Go left in our thinking. We head down a path of, hang on, control, master, do as I say. This speaks of a list of rules. This speaks of acts. This speaks of doing. This speaks of the law. Jesus came to abolish the law. Therefore, that can't be right. In the middle, you have the devil's tactic as an angel of light, because he wants to take your eyes off of Jesus and all he has done for us. And he offers us what he wants you to place your sight on. That's something else. anything else. If he can get your eyes off of Jesus and what he's done and onto anything else, then he's on a winning thing. And quite often, he gets us to look at us. The biggest challenge in the battle now is that we are God of our life. We are God of our life. So on the left, we've got, well, that is rules. That is not relationship. And we remember that it's not about rules, it's about a relationship. And if we're not careful, on the right, we then focus on relationship. That leads us to feelings. Go right, and we often go down the path of how I think and how I feel. If we go down this route, then how I understand God and Jesus is based on how I feel, and we read the Bible through that lens. And we seek God's truth through our own point of view.
Hold on.
The problem is, it often does not result in God's truth, but our own truth. The biggest battle is that we recreate God in our own image. And that actually, ultimately, as you reinvent the moral code, as you reinvent it to suit where you are and where you're at, you redesign God in your own image. Isaiah 30:21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I had the picture of a pendulum, and I've used it lots of times. And when a pendulum is working under its own power, it swings to the left and to the right and to the left and to the right. And when it's all its own power is expelled, then it stays true and center. Isaiah, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left, keep your foot from evil. Joshua 1:7, my baptismal verse, 7-9, this is just, I don't know actually. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. The battle for me in today's society is that we do not recreate God in our own image based on how we think and how we feel. You are not your emotions. You are not your temptations. We need to recognize that we need to battle against sin. And often sin will seem very right, will seem very good. It will be enjoyable. It will be nice. To walk God's standard, to make him Lord, to give him those things is a challenge. And in today's society, we buck against it because we want to have control over our own lives. The biggest battle within me is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to keep him as our focus. Otherwise, we go with what we feel. We go with how we feel. We say things about, you know, if you really loved me, you would accept me just the way I am. We've heard it, the brownies or the girl guides saying, be true to myself. Do you know the truth? God accepts you. When you come to him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, he accepts you no matter your background, no matter your sin, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter where you've been, he accepts you. But the lie is that you stay there in that place, accepted. Exactly the same. He calls us out of that place. And we post it. We see it all over the place. I only want people who will accept me for who I am. It's not biblical. And yet it's twisted in such a way that it sounds right, it feels right. But it's saying, I will be Lord and Master of my own life. It's a battle. We need to realize it. We need to push against it. We need to fight against it.
Where are we?
Okay, hold on, let's turn the page. So, we've done the battle is in me. What's the next ring? Hold on, let's do that. The next ring is the unity of Jesus Christ. We need to battle for the unity of Jesus Christ. Where? In the church. So the battle in me is for the lordship of Jesus Christ. The next battle is in the church, and it's for the unity of Jesus Christ. Where am I going? Okay, the power of unity. Mark 12, read it at home, 29 to 31, but it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Do you know that the triune God is in perfect unity, is in perfect harmony, is actually a perfect representation of how the unity in God should be. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three but one. Working separate but working as one. It's a mystery. We'll never understand it. We can get glimpses into how it operates. But the power of unity is first seen in the triune God. Oh, hold on. Sorry, this is... here we go. Somebody pinched my laptop, so I'm now on this instead. Okay, there we go. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. God says it is good. Harken back to creation. God saw it and said it is good, it is good, it is good. Interestingly, he said when man is alone, he said it is not good. You can't be in unity with yourself. It doesn't work. It's good and it's pleasant. It gives God delight and joy when brethren are in unity together. Look at the power of unity. Read at home the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. There were three things there. The whole earth had one language. They had a clear purpose. Let us make a name for ourselves. The Lord recognized they were one. Said nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Do you get that? Unity is such a strong godly principle that when people get it, God himself says there's nothing that can be done. And that's unity outside of God. He says there's nothing they can't do. I need to fix this. And he set them in languages and nations and gave them borders. Because the power of unity outside of God is dangerous. The power of unity inside of God is dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous because it gives the enemy nowhere to go. Amen? The enemy's tactics is to move our vision from being in unity with one another to focusing on people who agree with me or who I find agreeable. I'll say that again. The enemy's tactics is to move from our vision from being in unity with one another to focusing on people who agree with me or people who I find agreeable. And usually people you find agreeable is because you recognize me in them. Oh, I see the me in you, and I like that. Let's hang. Let's hang. This must not be the foundation of our unity. The devil, once he's got you focusing on people who agree with you and people you like, the devil then moves to the people who don't agree with you are against you. It's a lie. He takes you down a path. Yeah, unity is people who agree with you, therefore people that don't agree with you are now against you. He turns us in on himself. The greatest weapon the enemy can do is to cause disunity in the body where Christians are fighting one another. And let's just deal with the church here before we deal with the church. Being in unity is about everyone having a healthy understanding of being part of the body of Christ under God's governmental structure. The devil hates a group of people who stand in unity under the Godhead. He hates it. Where are we? Let's have a look. The illustration Paul uses of the body demonstrates how we all need and are all of how we are all needed and how we are all of value. But we play different roles. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "There is one body, but it has many parts. But all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. My fingers on my right hand." It is my right hand. I gave a quick think. "My fingers on my right hand by themselves can have unity and intimacy with my other fingers. By themselves, they can do that. That's a finger. That finger can have unity with my other fingers. If my right hand wants unity with my left hand, it needs my shoulder. It needs my shoulder. Not of greater value, but if I'm to actually have a relationship, my left and right hand, I need my shoulder. You ever had a scratch? Do you scratch an itch, or do you an itch a scratch? If I've got an itch on my right ear, I desperately need my elbow. I really need it if I'm going to deal with that scratch. I know I've got a left hand, but it doesn't work. I've done the shoulder. Yeah, this is the elbow. And if I've got another scratch on my right shoulder, I need my wrist. It's not about different levels of importance, it's about different roles. And one body. Paul's picture of unity presents the body. We are all part of the body. We cannot do without one another. Look at verse 21. The parts that can't be seen, that we think are less important, Paul says have special honour. 1 Corinthians 12:25. In that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. I need to remind myself of the interpretation. It's within the Bible Gateway, so if it's in there, it's got to be good. But this is one that I don't normally use, but it was so good. Let me read it again. In that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. All of them will take care of one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part shares in its joy. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you has a part in it. And actually, when we come under the unity as a church, under God's governmental structure, God says it is good. But we often make it about who's right, who's wrong, who's got more power, the Lord, who's got more authority, which way are we going? The enemy makes that about abuse of power. Well, it's about the leadership wanting to go a certain way, and it's just a way of Ben saying, you've got to go with me, and here's a scripture to support it. If that's your lens, fine. That's what the enemy gets us to focus on. He says, this level of unity is abuse of power, it's unhealthy submission, and it's control. And we've read that the only person that has those is Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? The enemy wants us to focus on the world's way of thinking. We dress them up in Christian clothing and language, and we walk them right into the church. He uses deception and lies, so we think we are being godly when we are actually not. Going through the his story stuff, I was struck by how often Paul is coming against false teaching. Do you know, false teaching is never blatant. False teaching is never blatant. It's subtle. So this level of unity we need to battle against it not becoming about abuse of power, unhealthy submission and control. And we need to battle against choosing to see it. Yeah? We need to make sure it doesn't become it, but then we need to battle against not calling it out whenever as a body we want to go in one direction. Okay, moving on. So we did the battle in me. We did the battle in the church. And the last circle, as we come to a close, is for the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And that's the battle in the world. Philippians 2, 5 to 8 in the NLT says this. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Equality is a big deal in today's society. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The battle in the world is that Christianity is just another good moral code to live by. And it's only good if it doesn't offend or it's not tolerant of or it's tolerant of everybody else. The battle in the world is that Christianity is just another moral code to live by. It's religious, yet, but ultimately, aren't all religions the same? That's the battle in the world that the Christians have to stand for. Over time, we see a blending and emerging of a similar way of thinking that takes only part of God's truth, twists it as the devil does, and represents it as Christ-likeness. We need to battle against the supremacy, for the supremacy of Jesus Christ. What is the supremacy of Jesus Christ? Christ is God. Jesus was not a good man, only. He was not a prophet, only. He was the Son of God, prophet, fully man, fully God. How does that work? I don't know. But the Bible says it, so it's true and it's done. Hey. 1 Corinthians. Where are we? Amen. Okay. Well, 1 Corinthians 8:46 in the NLT again. So, what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god, and that there is only one God. They may be so-called gods, both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But for us, the Christian, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. The battle in the world is that Christians need to remember there is only one God. There is only one God. The next thing, is it on here? No, at the end. Okay, so there is only one God. The next thing we need to battle for is an appropriate way of sharing it. There is only one God. We need to learn how to share it in a world, in a society, in Shirley, that does not see it and does not want to accept it. It's not like it was 50 or 60 years ago when there was some hold on to the resemblance that the Bible had some authority in our society thinking. People don't think that way anymore. It doesn't stop the truth. The truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the only way to Father. We now as Christians need to wrestle with how we represent him well in a world that simply doesn't want to know him but needs him. But needs him. In closing, I found this in Jude 1:17-24, the NLT again. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. The battle for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's hand, the unity of Jesus in our church. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do not with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without single fault. The next battle in the world is for souls. And it's real because the devil, Satan, is real. Heaven is real. We love that. We agree it's for eternity. Hell is a real place. And we've changed our state as fallen man. And God wants to rescue us from that state of fallen man and redeem us and give us the gift of eternal life. And we as Christians, we're his ambassadors here on earth. And the battle is for souls. Because God's desire, God's will is that none should perish. The sadness is many will. And the battle is for souls. So, in closing, where we started, where do we go? How do we fight this battle that is going on within us, with our church, in society? Jesus is our hope. Stay close to the living word through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Stay close to the written word, which is God's holy Bible. I tried to find a third thing with the word word in it, but it didn't work. Be found in the unity of Christ's body, the church. Stay close to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Stay close to Jesus through the written word. Be found in unity within Christ's body, the church. The battle is real. Christ has won the war. God is calling us as soldiers to fight the battle. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Craig.